Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
George Washington made plain that it is not possible to rightly govern the world without the Bible. One of the reasons I wrote, Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's divine inspiration is that the Bible today is under siege. It is being attacked by politicians and punmeisters, by magazines, on television shows. It has been marginalized as though it is no longer relevant for Western civilization. In some sense, we now no longer live in the pages of the Bible, but rather live in the shadow of the Bible. And in this milieu, it is critical for Christians to know that they know that they know that the Word of God, to which they have committed their lives, is indeed authentic, reliable, trustworthy, true. Has God Spoken? Available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. You can also order via the mail. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or as always, when you pick up the telephone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up today, Isaac, listening on the web in Aurora, Colorado. Hi, Isaac.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, I love your show, Hank. I've listened to you for a great many years.
Thank you.
I have a question concerning Genesis chapter 1, verses 4, 14, 15, and 16, where it talks about the light. God said, let there be the light. And I guess I'm trying to understand. I understand that we have the heaven and then the firmaments as the stars at night. Where does the other lights fit into that perspective?
Well, I think that if you look at the account that we have in Genesis chapter 1, the days of Genesis are rendered literal solar days, but they're not rendered literal solar days to establish a chronology in creation, but to remember the purposes of God in creation. So I don't think that we want to say that the first 3 days were not solar days. They were depicted as solar days. But again, this is to underscore God's purposes in creation as opposed to giving us a chronology of creation.
Oh, that's wonderful. I like that thought. That puts me on the track then to where I need to be then. I really appreciate that, Hank.
Well, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. And do remember, that's the whole point. The point is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth, or mine the Bible for all its wealth. Back to the phone lines. Everett listening in West Palm, Florida. Hi, Everett.
Hi, I had a question. You were talking about frozen embryos. My question is, do embryos have a soul attached to them?
Well, remember, whenever you have a fertilized human egg, what you have is a human being. Indeed, when a woman conceives and gives birth, she's giving birth to a body-soul unity. That's what it means to be human. So we would say that an embryo does not have a fully developed personality, but certainly has full personhood from the moment of conception. So yes, an embryo does have a soul, because the embryo is a human being, and therefore it's a body-soul unity.
Okay, what happens to those souls in the event that those embryos are lost to... they don't make it through the thawing period, or they're just discarded? What happens to those souls?
Well, if the embryo does not make it through the thawing period, then it has died. And at death, there's an unnatural rending between body and soul. And what we look forward to, however, is that that body will be restored, in fact, will flourish to what it would have been if sin had never entered the world. That's the hope of Christianity. The hope of Christianity is that when the Lord returns a second time, or as Hebrews puts it, appears a second time, then those who have died will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and we who are still alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. And of course, this is laid out for us beautifully in Revelation chapter 21, where we see a vision vicariously through the eyes of John. And in that vision, God himself is with us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He'll wipe every tear from our eyes. There'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. Behold, all things will have become new.
So all children that are lost like that or in abortion or killed at a very, very young age, they go to heaven?
Yes, I believe so. I believe that because of a theological deduction based on the nature of God. I don't want to shout where the Bible is largely silent, but I do think that we can appeal to the Scripture in part, but more particularly to the nature of God as he's revealed himself to us in the Holy Scriptures, a God who is ultimately just and righteous and merciful, and a God who will resurrect those persons who have not had an opportunity to live in this life, will raise them to eternal life to live with him forever. The picture, I think, is poignant and profound with respect to the quintessential king of Israel, David. He lost a child, and as long as that child was still living, he mourned. But when the child died, he washed his face, and he went about his business because he knew that one day he would be with that child. And I think that gives us a glimmer towards this perspective as well.
I see. So even though as horrible as abortion is, those children are really better off being aborted? I mean, considering the long run, when they grow up, the odds are they're not going to accept Christ?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't look at it that way, because we could say that in general. If we start looking along those categories, we could say it's good not to evangelize, because if those who have never heard are on their way to heaven, then evangelism only serves to do harm as opposed to doing good. I don't think that's a good way to reason. I think it's the argument ad absurdum. I don't think that you can ever say that it is good to kill an innocent human being.
Right. Well, I agree.
Yeah. So the point is, God gives people volition. He gives them the opportunity to have a relationship with him, but he doesn't force that relationship on them. Certainly there are theological constructs that would answer the question differently than I have. Again, because it's largely a theological deduction. There are people that would say, well, God looks at that child, he knows what that child would have done had that child lived, and he judges that child accordingly. So again, theological constructs look at this in different ways. But ultimately, I like to answer this question from the perspective of the nature of God, looking at the nature of God and making a theological deduction from that. One thing we know in either case, whatever the answer is, we know that in the greatest size, God will rule justly, he will judge justly, and all that he will do will be perfect. So he will take into consideration every converging factor without error and render an absolutely just, merciful, and righteous judgment.
I agree. Thank you very much for the insight.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I think this certainly underscores the fact that we have a silent Holocaust in our midst. It is a travesty. It is a tragedy. It is the painful killing of innocent human beings. Innocent in the sense that they do not deserve a sentence of capital punishment. They're the most vulnerable in our midst, and I find it highly ironic that in our society, there is on the one hand a great propensity towards being kind and gracious and caring for little children, and yet if you transition that to the womb, the caring somehow or other stops. And we allow a silent Holocaust to continue in our midst. And I think one of the things we need to do in an age of scientific enlightenment is to point out the reality of what a preborn child actually is. The preborn child has, on the basis of scientific fact, all of the qualities that underscore it as a person. And therefore, we need to educate people in this regard. This is, again, a critical issue. I've dealt with it in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And back to your phone calls. Bryant is next, listening in Nevada. Hi, Bryant.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Hey, I have two questions. I have a 19-year-old stepdaughter who's profoundly handicapped. Her brain was half destroyed when she was a baby by bacterial meningitis from her vaccination series. And I'm wondering about her spiritual condition because you can't communicate with her and she can't talk. And I'm wondering what the prognosis would be for her.
Well, the general principle is God's not trying to keep people out of fellowship with him. He's not looking to present obstacles to that relationship, but he is looking forward to that relationship. He died so that that relationship could be ensured. And so I think you can safely leave this wonderful young lady in the hands of an infinitely loving and infinitely just God and know that one day she will be restored to what she would have been had sin not entered the world, and she will have fellowship with her Lord and Savior, her Creator, throughout the eons of time. That's the blessed hope of Christianity. It doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with things like handicaps. It gives us something far greater, the hope that one day all things will be put to right.
All right, that helps me a great deal. The second question is, the Bible says that Satan was perfect in wisdom. Is that correct?
Yeah, he was. He had requisite knowledge. He was in the presence of God.
Right. So I would think he would be wise enough to know he can't win, and how wise is it to continue fighting a losing battle?
Well, look at Solomon. Solomon was given a wise and discerning heart, and as such became the wisest of all men, save Theanthropus, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And yet, at the end of his life, he built altars for his gods, or the gods of his pagan wives. So his pagan wives and concubines turned his eyes from the Lord. He engaged in polygamy. I mean, you wonder why someone with a wise and discerning heart would do such a thing. But you don't even have to look at Solomon. You can look at yourself. Why is it that we sin all the time, even though we know that we are violating the righteousness of God? It's the human condition, and certainly Satan was given the intuitive power to know what it would be like or to imagine what it would be like to get honor and glory and power and worship for himself, and that is what he chose. That is what it is to have a volitional being who has an opportunity to choose or to choose otherwise. And when that happens, then evil becomes a potentiality, as well as that potential can be actualized, as it was in the case of Satan. So again, why do human dictators typically not resign or surrender, but rule until they are physically removed or until they physically can't rule anymore?
Yeah, that's a quandary there.
It is the quandary of sin and evil.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your help. I'll call back later with other questions.
Well, good. Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Tony. She's listening in Oklahoma. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Hank. Very nice to talk to you.
Likewise.
My question is probably a very, obvious one, and I'm just missing it somewhere. But when, you know, in the Bible, I don't remember the chapter or verse, but where it says, you know, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm asking this question because, you know, when someone, you know, passes away here, you know, not in the resurrection, where exactly are they between when their spiritual bodies meet their resurrected bodies? You know, like, present with God in heaven, and then the millennium comes, and then they meet up with their spiritual bodies, and then they're all here in the millennium with us, and that's stayed here. I don't know how I'm even phrasing this right.
Well, that's fine. You may want to simplify it just a little bit, but the passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul says, home in the body means absent from the Lord, and absent from the body means to be at home with the Lord. What happens when someone dies is the soul leaves the body. So the body becomes a soulless body. The body actually then is buried. The soul, or the non-physical aspect of humanity, is, if you are a believer, in the presence of the Lord. As described by Jesus, it's Abraham's bosom or paradise. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns again with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, then the soul returns to the body, and we are resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So there's not a different body, but there's a one-to-one correspondence between the body that now is and the body that will be. The difference is that it's raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So if you think about it from the perspective of DNA, there's a blueprint for you that makes you you. That blueprint will make you you for all eternity, except that it will flower and flourish in a perfect environment in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
That'd be great. But what I'm really trying to get at is the spirit is with Abraham's bosom with God right now, with Christ.
That's correct.
Okay, and where that is just an awesome place.
Well, yeah, it's not a place. I mean, that's a category mistake. Remember that souls are non-physical. So to ask where a soul is a category mistake. Where a soul is not the issue because, again, it's non-physical. So we're talking, when we say absent from the body, present with the Lord, not in locational terms, but in relational terms. When the soul returns to the body, then, again, it has extension in space.
Okay, I'm kind of getting that. That kind of makes sense. It's hard to, you know, for me to understand all this super, you know, divine stuff.
Well, these are difficult things for everybody to grapple with, so don't feel bad about that. I mean, these are things that take a lot of thinking. So you're asking a good question, and you should be commended for that. I think it's wonderful that you're thinking in this regard, and don't feel bad at all. I mean, so often when I get asked questions, I have to say, look, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I've got to research and return. Well, in the process, you learn and develop and grow, and that's what you're doing. So good for you.
Well, thank you. I have all your books, and I study thoroughly, and I'm very happy to be a Christian, and I love Jesus, and this is all awesome.
Well, your joy and enthusiasm are contagious. Thank you so much for calling, Tony.
Well, thank you, Hank.
Bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to John. He's listening in Littleton, Colorado. Hi, John.
Hi. I've got a question that's it's kind of hard to ask, especially on a Bible show. It's something that's necessarily not preached at the pulpit, but I had been addicted to pornography for several years, and finally through the mercies of God and Him giving me the tools and the strength, I was able to break free of that weight. Thank the Lord. The question I had was, it had just came to my attention through some family members that someone in my family had been addicted to it. How is the best way to approach that? To try to help him, because the way that I was able to get help was, sadly enough, I had to hit rock bottom where my companion almost divorced me.
Yeah. Well, a good question. I'm glad you asked it. And we're dealing with that in a lot of different ways at the Christian Research Institute. We have had some pretty insightful articles that have been written by Joe Dallas in the Christian Research Journal. But I think one of the most helpful tools or resources that is available today for those who genuinely want to change, that want to attain sexual integrity, is a book called The Game Plan, The Men's 30-Day Strategy for Attaining Sexual Integrity. It again is by Joe Dallas, and I don't know of anyone in the Christian world today that writes more helpfully and in a more compelling, edifying fashion in this particular regard. The book I would highly recommend. I mean, I think it's a book you need to get and give, and then recognize from your own experience that God has put you through something so that you can help someone. And so don't marginalize or take that lightly. You've been through an experience. You've attained, by God's grace, victory in the circumstance. And I think as a result of that, you can be an extraordinary help in this regard as well. Again, for everybody listening in, The Game Plan, the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It infects, it corrupts, it devastates. As just mentioned, it destroys relationships and families and lives. And everywhere men turn today, there is this sexual temptation. It's rearing its ugly head. The internet, of course, has made it easier than ever to get caught in the trap of sexual sin. And it takes more than a little effort for men to resist the temptations. It takes a plan, and that's why I recommend The Game Plan. I did an endorsement for it, in fact, and I say in the endorsement that no one understands this subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men committed to reclaiming moral purity. So this is a resource that no man should be without. It is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can just go to the web and order online at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.